Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we do thank you for participating. Of course, you know that we have our regular scheduled guest this evening, Pastor Dawn Mixon from Long Island, New York, and we are always anxious to hear what the Lord has placed on her heart and how she's going to expound it through her spirit. We thank you, Pastor Mixon, each and every time that you come on. For those of you who are tuning in by internet, we'd like to let you know that we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means you have an opportunity of calling in when Pastor Mixon opens up the mic, and you can question or share. Amen. This is an interactive Bible study, and we are all here as one body in Christ. And we also like to let you know that while you're on, please, for those who are tuning in for the first time, please make sure that you mute your phones, mute your mics, or whatever device that you're using. Please mute it, because we can hear everything in the background. And we keep our mics open so we can hear everything. So muted, and when you get ready to share anything, then you can open up your mics, and therefore there is no distraction. We do thank you for that. We're going to move on over into Long Island, New York, and the next voice that you hear will be Pastor Dawn Mixon. Amen. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord, everybody. I hope with everyone. I am grateful to be with you on tonight and to share a word that the Lord shared with me to give to you on tonight. I'm always excited to be able to expand the word of the Lord and to, most of all, expand the word of the Lord to you. I believe that in this day and time, there are many who God has planted seeds, and they are about to give birth to what he has spoken to his people. And so it is important, I believe it's important for people, not just people of God, but people in general, to allow themselves to allow their ears to be close to the mouth of God so that they can hear what God has to say to them. Because where we are in this season and time in our life, I believe we are in a very crucial and critical season in our life. And, you know, the Bible lets us know even the very elect will scarcely make it. So we have to make sure that we are tied into the word of God. Not only that, but we're hearing the voice and knowing the voice of God. And when we hear and we know the voice of God, we will not follow after the strange thing. And I have found in this day we have many strange things that are among us that many people are following. And it's amazing to me, because we think a lot of times, because people are well-educated, we think that they would not fall into some of the traps that we are seeing. But it's not enough just to be educated, but you must be in relationship with God.
Yes.
And because when you are in relationship with God, it allows you to know the voice of God. Bible says that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And so we pray today that you will continue to listen to the voice of God, and that's through prayer. And you are listening to God through his word. I want to just go into a word of prayer briefly. And I'm hoping that some of you will share on tonight as well. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for all your blessings towards us. We do not take for granted the activities of our limbs. We do not take for granted being in our right mind. We do not take for granted, mighty God, all the things that you've done for us up to this point. Yes. And even though some of us may be going through some of the most difficult times in our life, God, we know that we are able to get through it all because you are with us. And so we thank you, mighty God. We ask that you will come forth in this word in a mighty way. What may seem strange now, that you will bring understanding and revelation to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So we're going to familiar scripture for some, the story of Job. And the story of Job has been taught, retaught, and spoken through all of our churches because of some of the things, or most of the things, that Job had endured. And oftentimes we use Job's life as a way of encouraging ourselves to motivate ourselves to push further. For surely, if Job can make it through the things that he has done, had gone through, then surely we can make it through the things that we are facing, because I believe there are many modern-day Jobs who are among us, and God has allowed them to come through what they've gone through. So we're going to Job, and we're going to be reading the 42nd chapter, and I'm going to read out of the easy-to-read version so that I can have clarity of the text. And we're going to start at verse 10, and I'm going to read to verse 17. And the word of the Lord reads, Job prayed for his friends, and the Lord made Job successful again. I'm going to say that again. And Job prayed for his friends, and the Lord made Job successful again. And the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and sisters and all the people who knew him before came to his house. And they all ate a big meal with him. They comforted him, and were sorry that the Lord had brought him so much trouble. And each person gave Job a piece of silver and a gold ring. Verse 12, the Lord blessed Job with even more than he had in the beginning. Job got 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 2,000 oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also got 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first daughter Jemiah and the second daughter Keza. He named the third daughter Karen Hapach. Job's daughters were among the most beautiful women in all the country. And like their brothers, they each got a share of the father's property. So Job lived for 140 years more. I'm going to say that again. He lived for 140 years more. He lived to see his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren. Job lived to be a very old man who had lived a good long life. I want to deal with all of it, but I want to pull out verse 10, where it says, and the Lord made Job successful again. I gave a subject to Elder Clay today, and I don't know if he was scratching his head when he looked at the subject, but I am going to take for a subject on tonight, sometimes God has to subtract to carry the one. Sometimes God has to subtract to carry the one. Most of us look at the life of Job, and when we look at his life, one would often look at it and wonder, how is it possible for one person to endure or suffer this amount of grief? Not only to suffer this amount of grief, but to suffer this amount of grief in such a small time frame. Just when Job heard of one news of tragedy, here comes another news of tragedy just moments later. I would ask the question, how much grief could one bear? I believe there are those who are going through what Job has going through, and some are going through that even greater. And some of us cannot even handle losing a few things. But Job was at a point where he lost everything. It's hard to understand the things that you go through. It's one thing when you cause tragedy to come upon your life yourself because of the decisions you've made. And sometimes we can kind of own up to things when we are the ones that cause the problem. And so we have to, those who will admit, I am the reason why this problem occurred, we take ownership of what we've done, and we try to live with what we've done. Then we have things that happen in our life that was no cause of anything that we've done, but what others have caused to happen in our life. And sometimes we, when that happens, we may disown the individual who caused all the problems. We isolate ourselves from them, and we move on to other areas because we don't want to see them as a reminder of what they caused to happen in my life and our lives. But I have to ask the question, what do you do when the one that caused the tragedy or the things that happen in your life, what do you do when it is God that brings or invites these things to your life? How are you supposed to deal with things with God has caused to happen? Somebody would have to ask the question and say, well, did God really do this? Yes, God invited this to happen to Job's life. You've got to understand that sometimes everything that happens in your life is not because the devil caused it. Sometimes
right.
things happen in your life because God gave permission for it
there
to happen.
Go. There you
okay?
go.
So when things happen in your life where God gives the permission to the enemy to attack certain things in your life, you've got to understand that God will never test someone he does not trust.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. He will
That's
not
right.
test somebody that he does not trust.
Does not
Please
trust.
Know that whenever God has chosen an individual to go through something like this, it's because he knows that the individual that he allows to bring forth through this situation, he's allowing them to go through it because they are going to come out of it on top. They're going
That's
to come
right.
out of it already victorious because God has so much confidence in the one that he is testing in the trial that even though the enemy makes the deal, oh my God, he doesn't realize that he's already lost because he looks at God and he looks at Job, he looks at mankind and says there's no way that the things that I'm going to bring upon Job's life, that there's no way that he is going to go through all of this and not curse God. He makes a deal with God concerning a man that he does not understand the relationship between God and Job. Trust me and
That's
believe
right.
when I tell you that whenever God has designed whatever happens in your life, listen, please know that if it is God that has invited problems to your life, he knows you're capable of making it through. My God, it's just like a fighter or a boxer. Even though the fighter or the opponent of the individual seems bigger, seems like they could capable of taking that individual out based on the fact of their size and what we look at. Please understand, people of God, just because a situation looks big does not mean
right.
that it's capable of bringing you down. That's the thing about the enemy. He tries to use things that look scary, that looks bigger than what we are, the mountains that look bigger than us. It seems as if oftentimes he uses those things to intimidate us.
Mm,
oh, my God. You have to understand is that mountains do not attack you. Mm-mm. You have to attack a mountain. Mountains are not going to run after you. They are just in a stationary position. It's something because we look at big things and think that they're capable of destroying us. But
That's
I look
right.
at things this way. Anything that's big enough to try to attack me has to first have to catch me. You got to catch me off guard. You got to catch me out of faith. You got to catch me out of the ark of safety. You've got to catch me out of the place with God. And what you must understand is that it does not matter how big a situation is. I don't care how big a person is. They still got to catch hold of me before they destroy me. And what the enemy wants to believe, that if I can catch you out of the ark or out of the safety of God, that's why Job said you've got a hedge of protection around him. If you remove the hedge, he'll curse you to your face. And I come to let you know today is that the enemy is always looking for something that God will do to take you out of protective custody. But I come to let you know that when people who know their God, who know their maker, there it doesn't matter if the hedge is there or not. Because the hedge is not for necessarily my protection, but the hedge is there for the enemy's protection. Because sometimes when God lets his people loose, the enemy cannot handle the kingdom of God. He cannot handle God's people, because we understand the weapons that God has given us in order for us to destroy the enemy. And so we've got to understand that here Job goes through many difficult things. Many things were subtracted out of Job's life. He lost his property. He lost his cattle. He's lost his children. He's lost so many things. So many things have been subtracted from Job. So you're trying to figure out. Now, I'm not a mathematical genius or nothing. But what I do understand that in the addition and a subtraction method, the two equations in the system are add or subtract to create a new equation with only one variable. In order for the new equation to have only one variable, the other variable must be canceled out. I don't know if y'all got that or not, but what I'm trying to tell you, in order for God to create something new in your life, there's something that in your life, all things that are in your life that have to be canceled out in order for you to get something new. Oh, my God.
That's good.
Is that when God subtracts to carry the one, in other words, whenever you're dealing in multiplication or in dealing with the addition, you have to cancel out one, and when you cancel out, you, in order to add, you've got to cancel something out and add the one. And what the adding of the one does is bring an addition to your life. And so what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is when God subtracts some things out, he has to carry that one over in order for you to see that there's a new addition. There is a new equation that God is placing in your life. And who is the one that he's carrying? The one that's being carried is you. You are the one that God is taking and putting you in another position and putting you in another place. And so God is subtracting stuff out of your life. Job would have never, watch this, when I read the scripture to you, I read it in the easy-to-read version so we can understand. The Bible says in Job 42 and 10, it says, Job prayed for his friend, and the Lord, watch this, made Job successful again. That word again is speaking volumes to so many of you who are listening right now. So what you must understand is that whatever you've lost, God said, I'll do it again.
Yes.
Whatever I've left you with, I'm going to do it again. And so why is Job the way he is? You know, Job went through some things in this whole situation because people asked Job, what did you do? You had to do something to cause this upon your life. I did one thing. I kept my relationship with God. I held on to the horns of the altar. I kept speaking with God. I kept having fellowship with God. That's what I did, because what you must understand is that people only judge you by how successful you are. But I have to let you know that God judges you based the relationship that he has with you. And that's why it is an honor, it is a privilege for God to take his people and he puts you through what he puts you through. And there's somebody who listens to me tonight that is going through some hard times and some struggles. Baby, it is only a subtraction to bring about a new equation in your life.
Come on,
there's
please,
a reason
please.
Why everything is happening in the that is happening in your city. I could not figure out. I could not fathom why in the world some years ago, a couple of years ago or more, why is everything just coming on me all of a sudden? It seemed like as soon as I got out of one situation, another situation arose. And as soon as that seemed like I got over that, something else showed up. I'm like, God, what in the world is going on? And I said, Lord, why is this season so cold? And why is this season so filled with so much drama and so much tragedy in my life? I don't understand, God, what you're doing. And one thing I've learned is when I don't understand what God is doing, I sit and I trust what he's doing, even though I don't know what he's going to do or how he's going to do it to get me out of it. And the thing is, a lot of times we want to know, God, what you going to do next? How you going to get me out of this? What is your plan, God? Well, we've got to understand is we've got to trust the plan maker. You've got to understand, I say this every time I come on here, your footsteps are ordained by God. A good man, oh my God. When you have done right by God and done right by God's people, God said, now you are in a position where I can take away from you the things you no longer need in order to change your life around for the better. And God said, oh my God, I preached this on last Sunday. God is about to allow people to push you into your better. And you think that people are trying to push you out of your scene and out of your season. But no, they are pushing you into your better. What are you saying, Pastor?
Into
I'm saying everybody
better.
That caused tragedy in your life, even you yourself, even God himself that caused so much stuff to happen in your life, those things were only happening to push you in your better. And I am in this house today to encourage whoever is on this phone is that God subtracting and he is removing things out of your life. God said, don't get frustrated in this season.
Thank you,
don't get angry in this season. Don't start telling folk off in this season. Don't start cussing folk out in this season. Don't try to get back.
You better go.
What I am doing is about to pull you up and pull you out of a place that you never expected. And he said, watch this. When I take you out of whatever, he said, I'm going to do it again. He said, not only did I give you, he said, but I made you successful again.
My God.
So you've got to understand that you are coming out of your subtraction. You're coming out of the place of cancellation to a place of successful again. And so I come to let you know that God is never, please understand, God is never going to allow you to do better than he does. He is never going to allow you to go through situations in your life and he don't make it up to you. Watch this. The Bible says that the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Oh, my God, I thank you. Just think about all of the season that you've been in and all the times that you had when you were in your season of harvest and your season of plenty, and then all of a sudden things were just wiped and canceled out. God said, whatever you had in your harvest and your season, he said, I'm going to give you twice as much as everything
Hallelujah.
That you ever lost. My God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody somewhere praise
Thank
God,
you.
God, like
Hallelujah.
Praise him where they are.
Yes.
That's a good place to praise him. Listen,
he says,
I'm going to bless us. He got twice as much as what he had before. Then watch this. Then all his brothers and sisters and all the people who knew him before came to the house. Watch this. What is the before? They knew when Job was in his lodi bar, when Job was in his place
of that would have depressed most. He was in his place where the enemy touched his could touch his body, but not his soul. They were in the place where they knew that his wife said, curse God and die. He was in a place where he lost his children. He lost his property. He lost his cattle. He lost his money. They knew him
my
before.
God.
My God. Oh, my God. I got to put this thing somewhere.
My God.
Watch this. People knew you in your before.
Yes.
They
before.
Knew you when you had nothing. They knew you
yes.
when they didn't have, you didn't have two nickels to rub together. They knew when you got your divorce. They knew when you lost everything you had. They knew when people were talking about you. They knew when everybody had shut
yes.
you. They
yes.
knew when people lied on you. He said,
yes.
the people who knew him before, my
mm-hmm.
God today, came to his house. Watch this. And they all ate a big meal with him.
Mm-hmm.
They comforted him and were sorry, watch this, not for what happened to him because of him, that not what happened because of what happened to other people that did to him, but they were sorry that the Lord had brought him so much trouble. Watch this. And each person that knew him before, watch this, gave Job a piece of silver and a gold ring. Let me tell you something. Everybody that knew you before when you were in your low place, watch this. Notice that they didn't come to his house and didn't start eating with Job, didn't start coming and start giving unto Job pieces of
mm-hmm.
silver and pieces of gold until he was successful again. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. People don't give you what you need when you need it. They
yeah.
give it to you when you don't need it.
When you
nobody
don't
help me
ooh,
right here.
Just
because one thing people will understand, we're sorry that you went through what you went through, Job, and I see that you're on your come up. I see that you're in your better. And while you're in your better, they said, listen, we're going to sit down, we're going to eat, we're going to get married, we're going to drink with you, but we're not just going to come here and just eat with you, but we're going to bring you something. Can I tell you,
mm-hmm.
there's some folks that knew you before, that some of them may have even been your enemy, but then when they come back to see you, they ain't going to have nothing else to do but bless you. They don't have no
amen.
Choice.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because they realize that the same person that God caused trouble in their life, he is now blessing. And can I tell you that God is ready to, and people understand that that's the best time to start blessing folk is when they're in their season
Jesus.
Of blessing.
Thank
yes.
you, Jesus.
Why do you think
thank
that there's so
you.
Many
thank
people
you,
that are so blessed? Can I tell you, blessing often attracts blessing. They tell me that money attracts money.
Uh-huh.
People who have money don't hang out with people who are poor.
Mm.
Why is that? Y'all have to think about that. Why do people who have money only hang out with other folks who have money? Because, okay,
mm.
let me help y'all. I'm going to help some of y'all.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
My God. Because some of
come
you
off, come
who are here
fast.
Right now, if anybody finds out that you have any money, if you got an inheritance, if somebody blessed you with a lotto ticket, I ain't going to say nobody that you wouldn't bought it yourself, but you just so happened to scratch it and won millions of dollars, you can't let nobody know that you have money. Because people who don't have money often want to cling to folks who do. Especially, watch this, your family members.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. There are some people I know right now that I talked to. They have some people in their family that are waiting for one person in their family to make it big so that they can take care of the whole entire family.
Amen.
I can't right. wait. I hope he get that football contract. I hope he get that basketball contract. I hope he comes
that's right.
the greatest a broker on Wall Street. I hope he makes a whole lot of money. What about you? What about you trying to be the best and somebody putting you in your best? No, there are people who are considered to be nothing more than leeches because they want to leech off what you have. I can't get nobody help me in here right there. But you've got to understand that people, that's why folks who are rich hang around rich folks. Because watch this. They are always adding, if it's not money, they're adding information to get money for their life. Oh, my God. Mm. So people want to be around you in your season of blessings. And so what you've got to understand is where Job is right now. Job is now out of the season of trouble, but in the season of blessings. Mm. The Bible says, and the Lord blessed Job with even more. Oh, my God. From verse to verse, from twice as much, he blessed him. Then he turned around and had people bring him money in his blessing. Then he turns around and says, Job was blessed even more than he had in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Wow.
God says, in your beginning, you thought you had something.
Yeah.
You thought you were wonderful in your beginning. You thought things were great in the beginning.
No, but beginning.
God said, trouble. Bless you with even more. Watch this. And Job got his sheep. He got 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 2,000 oxen. See, y'all don't understand. If you understood the stock in that day and the property in that day, Job was a multi-millionaire. Watch this. Then he turns around and blesses him with more children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show y'all something at the end of this text. He blesses him with more children. Watch this. Job does something that you don't often see in the Bible. Job doesn't talk about the blessing of having sons, but he talks about his daughters. Watch this. Can I tell you that when trouble and tragedy come in your life, you don't always do things like everybody else does it. Watch this. Because in the Bible, if you notice, they very rarely, if never, mention the names of their daughters. They mention the names of their sons because the sons are the ones who are the heirs.
Yes.
The sons are the ones who carry the name. The sons are the ones who inherit the inheritance. But the Bible says, and I'm getting ready to bless some women on the line right now. The Bible says that Job named his daughters, watch this, and then he turns around and he tells us that he gives his daughters an equal amount as he does his sons. Oh, what you saying, Pastor? I'm saying to y'all tonight that God also blesses his daughter. Okay, let me help you because it was Moses. It was Moses who were dividing. They did a census and they were dividing up inheritance in the family. And there was a man by the name of Zelophehad had five daughters. And they had no brothers, they had no husbands, and the only male factor in their life died in war. And so when they did this census to break up all the inheritance and everybody would get this money from that parent, and they were only giving it to the male children. And so the daughters came to say to Moses, listen, Moses, we don't have anybody to take care of us. We have no men to take care of us. So what are we going to do? Because we're going to be destitute. And where does my father's inheritance go? Moses goes to God, and God said, the women are right. The daughters are right. Give them their inheritance. And I come to let you know, all across the board, we are the children of God. And God said, I have an inheritance my children. I have an inheritance for my sons and my daughters. He says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going in and you're coming out. So Job is blessed, so blessed that he gives him, watch this, the equation has now changed. He subtracted some things out of Job's life, and now he's in a new equation. He's in a new life. He's in a new situation. And so the Bible says that he gave each one of them their shares. Watch this. And watch this. I'm getting ready to bless somebody's life, and it don't matter how old you are. The Bible says, so Job lived, watch this, 140 years more.
More.
Did somebody get that?
Yes.
Yeah.
My God.
So it means that Job had to at least be 140 to get 140 more. The Bible says, is it me or am I reading what y'all reading? Bible says,
he lived
140 years more.
More.
And he lived, watch this, to see his children.
Four generations.
His grandchildren, his great grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren.
You're right on that.
He lived to be very old man and who lived a good, watch this, he didn't just live, but he lived a good, watch this, long life. Oh,
long
my
life.
God. Can I bless y'all? I need somebody in here
you
to
have.
Scream
you
around the room.
Have.
Because a lot
have.
Of times we think that because God blesses us in our old age that we won't have enough time to enjoy the blessings. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. When God puts you through trouble and when God puts you through situations, he's going to allow you to endure and live long enough to enjoy every blessing that he has given you. There's no way in the world that God is going to allow you to go through suffering and trouble that he allowed you to be in and not bless you with everything
and
live to enjoy. Let me tell you something. He says, I'm not going to just bless you, Job. He said, I'm going to bless you. Watch this, and I'm going to bless your children. He said, but I'm not going to let you die in the blessing. He said, I'm going to let you live a good, long life so that you can enjoy it and that you're not going down in the ground while your children are enjoying your blessing. My God, today, Lord have mercy. I come to let somebody to know on tonight that God is getting ready to bless you and your children at the same time. Watch this. Your children don't have to wait for you to die to get their inheritance. He said, I'm going to bless you right now. And then watch this. He said, because Job is going to live too long for you to wait for your daddy to die to get your inheritance. So I'm going to bless you right now.
My God.
There is too many of us that is on the line on tonight that are waiting for the inheritance. And you say, Lord, I don't know if I have much time to live because I'm going through the suffering. I'm going through these different things in my body. God said, I am in the God that healeth thee. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to give you twice as much. I'm going to turn around and let folks bless you and sit down and eat with you. And I'm going to give you even the more. And even when I give you the more, I'm going to give you more years to live in your blessing so that you can enjoy all the suffering. After all the suffering, I'm going to give you more than what you suffered for.
Jesus.
God said, stop looking at the suffering and start looking, my God, tonight. Stop looking at the subtraction while he's carrying you to the next equation of your life.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the one that is being carried to the next, my God, tonight. Oh, my God, I feel the preacher over me. I feel the anointing on me. God is the one. You have to understand. It was God's doing through all of this process. It was God's doing to allow all these things to happen to carry you to your destiny of promise.
Amen.
It was God's doing. So anybody that's on this line that has gone through anything, you've gone through hell and high water, baby, please let me help you understand tonight that God has allowed some of us to go through what we've gone through just so that God can take you to the season of promise. So everything that he promised you, because there's some people on the line on tonight who are like myself, that God has prophesied things in your life from the time you were in your womb, your mother's womb, until you were a child and you didn't even understand the prophecy, a teenager. I have been prophesied to, and it seems that oftentimes if I'm in the presence of a prophet, I'm always getting a word from the Lord. And can I tell you, not until now, when I've been prophesied to from my mother's womb to now, you just seen the manifestation of God's word coming forth. What I'm saying to you today, stop putting time limits on God's word and the manifestation of his glory that's about to come over your life. God said, I don't work with time. You work with time.
Amen.
So because I don't work with time, oh, my God, since you've got to deal with time, and I really don't, I will give you enough time so I can bless you and enjoy your blessing. I want to let somebody know on tonight that God has designed and desired for you to be prosperous and in good health, even as your soul shall prosper. Stop receiving everything that the enemy says. Because if the enemy can't catch you, then he can't do nothing with you. I don't care what the illusion is before you. When you've been tested and tried, please count it as an honor. Please count it as an honor. Because God says, I'm not going to test nobody that I don't trust to make it through the test. If you're not going to get a good score on the test, if you're not capable of enduring this test, God said, I'm not even going to look in your direction. Keep on doing what you're doing. But because you trust me when you can't trace me, when you can trust me when you don't know what my next move is going to be, when you can't trust me, when you can trust me when things are falling apart, the one thing I'm learning, and I keep telling my church this, God has the Alpha and the Omega.
Yes.
And in between your Alpha and Omega, you've got to get from Alpha to Omega, and sometimes you go through your Alpha and your Omega, and you have no instructions from God in your middle. What do I do when I don't hear God on my journey and he's not telling me whether I'm on the right path, if I'm doing right, he's not giving me no instructions. All I know is that I'm trying to get to the end to get to promise. What do I do if I don't hear from God? Because some people hear from God every day. I don't hear from God every day. But when I do hear from him, he makes it count. And so what I do is, when I don't hear from God in a season of my torment and my trouble and my trial, what do you do? I'm getting ready to encourage you. I'm getting ready to help somebody who says, I can't hear from God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in ministry. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Hang on to the last word that he told you.
That's good right there.
Because whatever God told you in your Alpha will carry you all the way to your Omega. You don't have to hear another word from God. You've got to trust that when God promised you what he promised you in the beginning.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
And Job.
Yes.
That's good.
Was more blessed than he was in his beginning. In your beginnings, you heard the word. In your beginnings, God prophesied the word. But in your ending, or the ending of your journey, God is giving you the manifestation of what he spoke to you from the beginning of time. And so I'm going to open up these lines because I hope somebody's eager to help bless me as well.
Well, hey, come on now. Come on.
Every preacher on here and got about 3 or 4 messages off this text right now. Amen. So
I got a month's work. It's miles. I got a month's work.
I want to bless you tonight.
Well, just like you bless me, I'm going to bless you. You talked about how Job received double, and you talked about how he was a multi-billionaire. Let me subtract some time to add to your one, if I may. If you turn around and you look at it and you do the history, Job had 2 trucking companies, if you want to put in today's time.
Right,
see,
right.
See, the camels is his long distance drivers. Taken from the tip of Long Island, it would go all the way up to Alaska, all the way across America, up through Canada to Alaska, because it didn't cost much. so because it didn't cost him much gas because, you know, camels got that hump. Then he had his oxen. Then he had his oxen, who was a bird and a beast, who would actually take some, it would be like his tractors, that would take something from Brooklyn and take it right on over to Queens, dump that load, come to Queens, and come back to Brooklyn. Then you talked about how his friends came and sat back and they ate with him. See, they ate delicacy because he had the sheep who had the good meat.
Yeah.
And then he also had the she-asses. So the she-asses actually had milk, which was trolled as delicacy. You see what you do to me when I get on the mic with you? Let me get off the phone. God bless.
I love it. Amen.
I hear you, Pastor Robinson. I hear you, Pastor Robinson. I hear you, sir.
I'm gonna add it to my text because I'm gonna use it the next time I preach it.
You ain't got no choice because I'm gonna use your title
in about
4 weeks.
That's Jersey, Pastor Dawn. That's Jersey, Pastor Dawn.
Yeah, I know who that
was. Jersey.
I know that's Pastor Robinson. Bless you, sir.
No.
Bless you.
No,
Pastor Miles.
No, that was Pastor Miles.
That was Pastor Miles.
Oh, Pastor Miles, right.
Yeah, this is Pastor Robinson right here.
This is
Robinson out of Tennessee. How y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing
Praise the Lord, my brother.
It's so good to hear you.
You know, it is, God is so good. God is so good, and he has used you in a mighty way tonight. I mean,
yes.
I just went to Elder Clay. I just started first shift on my job, and I told you when I start first shift, I would be back on the line because I was working the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm back on the line, and I am so glad that I tuned in tonight because, preacher, you really blessed my soul tonight. I mean, everything that I've been going through and everything that I am going through, And the blessing that I know that I'm going to receive from God after going through what I've went through, you have put the icing on the cake. And I tell you, I appreciate that. I appreciate that word. Wow. And I'm sitting here now, and every word, every phrase, every comment, everything you said, I'm just sitting here with the biggest smile on my face. Because you have blessed me. I tell you, you have blessed me tonight.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
What a word.
Good to hear you. Good to
what
hear you.
A word.
I tell you, Sister Preach, you spoke to me in such a way about subtracting because about 3 weeks, a little over two weeks ago, I lost my job. And for something that was of good nature, I lost it on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I got the offer right there on the spot. So I know you spoke to me. Subtracted to add, got rid of all of that stuff. So when I heard the title, it spoke to me. And I'm gonna say this right now. I got a good female friend of mine online right now. She listens. I know she listens. I'm not gonna call the name, but I know the number's coming across to where Brother Moderator sees something different. You spoke to her tonight.
Blessing.
Yeah.
You spoke to her tonight. I know she's on the line and she's quiet, but you spoke to her. And I thank you. I'm thanking you for her in advance in Jesus' name. Just keep on creeping on and add that stuff to your notes, because Lord knows I'm stealing your title.
Listen, we all can't be at the same place at the same time, and people need to hear it. So,
Amen.
Amen.
Please,
Amen. Please preach it.
Somebody else needs to hear it.
No, I'm going to let the Holy Ghost use me with that one, because that title, because see, math my stick. That's my thing. That's my stick. God bless you.
God bless you. Anybody else want to say anything on the line?
I just want to say this was good, Pastor Dawn. This was a great word. I was truly blessed. And what came to my mind was, behold, I do a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And he's blessing us again, better than the beginning. I thank God for this word, because this word, it went deep. And, you know, if God can trust us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what he's created in us. He knows our hearts. He knows all about us. And if he can trust us with the blessing, he can trust us with the problem or with whatever challenge that we go through. He knows his people. He knows his children. And like the Omega, the last thing, I love the ending of your message. The last, if you don't hear God again, the very last thing he told you, that's what you hold on to. If he's silent, that's what you hold on to. And that alpha word in the beginning will carry you to the Omega blessing. The Omega, we win. We win. I thank God for this word.
Amen.
Great word. Pastor Don,
I want to say this also. Y'all know I'm kind of full right now. I hadn't been on in a while, but I want to say this, that there is a ministry. There is a ministry that's coming down the pipe here in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. And God has blessed me to carry this ministry. And what God has shown me in a vision was four letters. He showed me EPIC, and that word is epic. And y'all know what epic is. Epic is that wow factor, that thing you see when you say, man, you know, excited. So God has used them four letters for me to open a ministry called Empowering People in Christ. And that's what's coming down the pipe here. And it's going to be epic. And when you spoke tonight, that let me know that I'm supposed to continue and carry on with
your
vision that God has given.
Press on. Press on, my brother. Press on.
We're going to push you right into your better, sir.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
We're touching and agreeing already.
Yeah.
Well, we're touching and agreeing already.
Man, that was a powerful word. That was powerful. Man.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, I'm going to turn it over to Elder Clay, and he can close us out.
Wow.
I ask that you would keep us in prayer as I am enduring and embarking to go into my 50th birthday celebration and elevation service. If you want to check out my Facebook page, you can attend our elevation service, and all the information will be on there. We have more information forthcoming about hotels and different things like that. Just want to kind of put that plug in there, because I would love for you who are on the line that can and celebrate with us for that time and that season. I believe that God is getting ready to do so much for so many people in this season and time, because God is getting ready to do a shift. He's doing a shift in this season, and he is using those who are in the kingdom that everybody else put aside and didn't think was worthy of it. He said, I'm going to use you for the shift. So he's subtracting others in order to carry the one on up to you. So I bless the name of the Lord. Please keep me in prayer, keep my family in prayer, as my sister is going through chemotherapy and different things like that. The blessings of the Lord is still over her life, and she's doing well. Just call out Pastor Sonia Mixon's name. I'm so grateful for what God is doing. So y'all keep my family in prayer, keep our church family in prayer, and most of all, keep one another in prayer. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I don't know what to say. I think everybody has said everything. We do thank you, Pastor Mixon, each and every time that you come on to share the gospel. And we know that there is an anointing in the word that you proclaim through these airways. There are so many numbers on. There are so many that have not said anything. But, you know, sometimes you don't have to say anything, you know, in order to be fed a word. So I'm sure that what you have shared with everyone, they're running. Yes, but we do thank you for that. You know, I think about Romans, in the book of Romans, and it says, how can they call one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one they in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without
preaching
to them? We thank you for what God is doing through you, through this ministry, and just taking the time to come on to share word with the body of Christ. We do thank you. We pray for the family. We pray for your sister. We pray for the 50th birthday and your elevation. We are all in agreement and praying for you and with you. We thank you so much. Keep in mind, we love you all, but God loves you most.
No matter what you've been told, it's not just for